24 Ford Bronco Sport Big Ben 4x4, $29,743. A 2024 T250 Low Roof Cargo Van, $51,955. 24 Model Ford F-150 4x4 Crew Cab, $46,929. Ray Varner Ford, your East Tennessee Ford dealership.
This is The Rewind with Jimmy Himes on Full Disclosure, and we're interviewing a lot of sports personalities in the Knoxville area. And our guest today is Holly Warlick. Holly, how are you?
I'm great.
Well, good to see you. I'm doing wonderful. Thank you for joining us.
Absolutely.
A lot of folks that younger might not know, you were a terrific track athlete, basketball player. You went to Tennessee on a track scholarship.
I did.
And then you ended up playing basketball. What led you to go there on a track scholarship instead of basketball?
Well, Pat Summitt actually came to watch me play in high school. I went to Bearden High School, and, mm-hmm. and that day I sprained my ankle pretty bad, and so she split, and I never saw her again. So, I did both sports, and had the opportunity to get a track scholarship with Terry Crawford. Very mm-hmm. thankful for that, with the idea of me walking on the basketball team. Mm-hmm. I had met a couple of players that were playing on the current basketball team at UT, and thought it would be great for me to walk on. So I did, and had the opportunity to do that, and made the basketball team. So went to Tennessee to run track, and end up playing basketball.
You did more than make the basketball team. You were a three-time All-American, a star player under Pat Summitt. But in track, you did get a chance to run in the Nationals, correct?
I did. It was so unique. I think Terry thought, you know, well, I'll let her go play because they're not going to do very well or go far. And so that year we went to the Nationals in basketball. That was when they had 16 teams. It was kind mm-hmm. of like the regionals. All the regionals were in one site in Minnesota. Yeah. So we finished third and then ended up going back out to track and then went to the Nationals in the 4x4 relay. So I got a great experience when I was a freshman. I went to the Nationals in basketball and went to the Nationals in track. And it's all new to me. So I thought, man, this is kind of fun. Is this how it is all the time? So
you were the first female athlete at the University of Tennessee to have their jersey retired. What did that mean to you?
Wow, just a tremendous honor. Was surprising at the time, but I don't think I knew the impact of it until I got mm-hmm. older. I was still playing. They retired my jersey, and we were still playing in basketball. We went on to the tournament. So, to do it in the sport that you love and for the university that you love, and it was a tremendous honor for me. Very humbling mm-hmm. and very appreciative.
1979, a very interesting year for you. You're on the national women's basketball team. You play in the Jones Cup. You win that in Taiwan. You play in the Pan Am Games, which you ended up winning silver. Then you go to the World Championships, which was in South Korea. And the USA wins that for the first time since 1957. That was a pretty good national team, wasn't it?
It was a great national team. And, Jimmy, we played in – before women played in front of big crowds, we played in front of, I'm going to say, 18,000 people, huge stadium. They didn't boo you. They whistled. So we're like, this is no big deal. They're whistling. It was something really, really special to do. It was kind of the nucleus of the team had been playing together since I was a freshman, and so was our junior year. And great opportunity, a lot of fun, mm-hmm. And to bring the gold medal home was really special.
So also that year in 1979, you end up making the Olympic team for the United States, but in 79, Russia invades Afghanistan.
Right.
What do you remember about that moment?
Well, we were so focused, and we were playing our senior year at Tennessee, and so it didn't make a whole lot of sense. I'm thinking it's gonna be settled, and then it got to be in January, and then I think the U.S. put an ultimatum down, and Russia didn't mm-hmm. meet it, and then we made the Olympic team, and we had to go about our business. We had to go about going to tryouts, making mm-hmm. the team, and then training with the assumption that we're still going to go. And so you know, as it got closer and closer, it didn't look great. So we had to go to the pre-Olympic tournament, because back then you had to qualify for the Olympics, mm-hmm. and you had to win. And so we won that, that tournament, but that's as far as we can go. And I look back and we beat Bulgaria, we beat Yugoslavia, and they were silver and bronze medal in the Olympics. So mm-hmm. that year, major disappointment, didn't understand why politics had to get involved with sports. And it was something that I had trained for, we had trained for 4 years, because it mm-hmm. doesn't just happen like you're just making the team. You train for 4 years to get to that moment, and then you don't get to go.
Did you first hear rumors about a possible boycott? Was it in January?
It was pretty much in January for me, as I can recall. But you know, we were in our season, and it didn't hit you. I mean, mm-hmm. you're playing, and you're thinking that that's no way that you're going to cancel. The Olympics hadn't been canceled, I don't know, for a long time, if they ever have. It was devastating at the time. And it's still, you look back and you can say you're Olympian, which I'm extremely proud of, but to not be able to compete, it was really difficult.
Do you consider yourself an Olympian?
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Made the Olympic team. And wanted that opportunity, but it didn't happen. But yeah, I'm an Olympian. We went as mm-hmm. far as we could go at that time.
Where were you when you heard the news that President Jimmy Carter said the U.S. is boycotting the Olympic Games in Russia? This interview brought to you by A.G. Hines Company, selling building materials since anyone can remember.
We were in the U.S. trials out in Colorado Springs. Mm-hmm. And then we went to Bulgaria for the pre-Olympic tournament with the hopes that maybe, you know, Russia would pull out of Afghanistan and everything would be fine. But, you know, I can remember we finished that tournament, and it had to be our celebration of that team, because we were no longer going to go anywhere. And yeah, I was in Bulgaria when the final thing came down and said, we're not going.
You were in Bulgaria when you got the news.
Wow. We were in Bulgaria and playing in the tournament.
So what happened to the team after the boycott? Did you just disband?
We disbanded and never to play again. And back then, now they have professionals playing in the Olympics. It was all amateurs for basketball. Right. And so we had to make a decision. Either you went to play pro, which was the WBL, Women's Basketball League, or you went overseas. And majority of us went to the WBL. So then mm-hmm. that kind of nullified at the time that we could no longer play. So then the 84 Olympics, that's when they started letting professionals play. But by then, the WBL had dispersed, and so I think we all had to get real jobs.
Did you look at the decision at the time, that is a bad decision, President Carter's wrong for doing this?
Oh, absolutely. I just didn't understand why politics had to be involved in sports.
And that opinion probably hasn't changed.
It hasn't changed that much. Yeah. I may have been a little softer on President Carter. I mean, can you imagine a Simone Biles not be able to go because of a political issue, or the Olympic team now? I think we handled it probably maybe more than people would handle it, a little bit better than people would probably handle it now.
President Carter invited the Olympians to the White House, and you went to the White House wearing cowboy hats,
cowboy boots. That was kind of the theme that was going to be for the Olympics. Mm-hmm. I think Levi's was the sponsor then. Mm-hmm. So yeah, he had everybody out, and it was a very good gesture.
Did you go?
I did go.
Did you consider not going?
No, absolutely not. It's a chance to be back with your teammates and to celebrate your accomplishments. So yeah, I was going to go. Absolutely.
Did anybody make some critical remarks of President Carter while y'all were at the White House?
I'm sure they did. I'm sure, my memory, that was a long time ago, Jimmy. But yeah, I know there were athletes that didn't go and comments, but you know, what do you do?
But you enjoyed that experience though, going to the White House.
I did. Enjoyed. You know, it's kind of like being around your teammates. I was around the nucleus of that team for 4 years. So to mm-hmm. be back with them and have some family members there, you know, as special as it could be with the situation, it was nice.
Was this event held during the Olympics? Was it after the Olympics?
It was after the Olympics. Yeah. Yeah. So
you mentioned going to the World Basketball League as a pro. There were four members of that 1980 Women's Olympic team that played in 1984. So they were still eligible.
Right.
Do you regret that? Do you wish you had not gone to the World Basketball League and had remained an amateur so you could be on the 84 team, coached by Pat Summitt?
I would have loved to, but that's kind of hindsight. You didn't, you know, you want to continue to play, and the best opportunity for me at that time was the WBL. Now, mm-hmm. after it folded, there was three more years left to go to the Olympics, and they still hadn't made a decision that it was going to be let pros in. So then that was my route to get into coaching. And by that time, when they said, you know what, we're going to let pros play, I was a little bit removed from basketball, and I was starting my coaching career. So I just kind of made a decision to stay the course in coaching. And, you know, I'm sure it would have been difficult to commit to training, but, you know, I was just trying to earn a living and trying to get in a career. Because the pro league, we played, but halfway through they quit paying us. So I was trying to figure out how I was going to make ends meet, and getting into coaching was my best option at the time.
The 1980 Women's Olympic team, head coach Sue Gunner, assistant coach Pat Summitt. And you weren't the only Lady Vol that was with a Lady Vol connection that was a player on that team, correct?
Absolutely. Cindy Noble, 6'5", which was tall at the time. Jill Rankin, 6'3". So there was three of us there. And yeah, I think we had a lot of Tennessee influence, and had played for Sue Gunner, great coach, and then had the opportunity to have Pat there as an assistant. So I felt bad for Sue because she put in her time too as far as coaching. So and then Pat was just getting started. And when mm-hmm. I was a freshman playing, that was Pat's first year she coached international, and it was just a junior national team with the nucleus of the Olympic team for 1980. And so that was Pat's first coaching mm-hmm. gig. And she was even tougher than being at Tennessee, because she wanted to prove a point that she deserved to be in the international coaching. So that was the start of her international career.
She was tougher then? Gosh. I saw how tough she was in the years that I was around.
Her game was, we're going to outwork you.
Yeah.
And so we were going to be in the best shape. And a lot of these players that came from other programs, they're like, this woman's crazy. All we're doing is running. But we were in great shape.
Yeah.
We were in great shape. And we trained in Lake Tahoe, where the altitude was high. And then we went to Mexico City. So, yeah, she had us ready.
Did you watch any of the 1980 Olympics?
Gosh, I don't recall.
I just wondered if you boycotted them.
I probably did. You know, I don't know. I don't remember that. I don't know if I've always been such an Olympic fan. I'm sure I don't recall. I'm sure I probably did. But, you know, Russia at that time was totally dominating USA basketball. International basketball. They dominated. They had, when Pat played in 76, they had Ulyama Simonova, who was
7'2".
You could put a mm-hmm. Kennedy half dollar through her ring finger.
I heard that.
Huge. But they dominated. And
do you remember the score with the Russia and USA?
I don't. Probably 20.
112-77.
Yeah.
In
1976. And that was our best. That was the first time we were in the Olympics.
Right.
And so 80 was going to be a challenge. It was mm-hmm. going to be a challenge. And then 84, USSR split. Right. And so that kind of hurt, to me, women's basketball. And then the U.S. took off. But Russia was, they were, they were dominating. I mean, they had great shooters. The 3-point line wasn't there at the time. Great shooters. They were a powerhouse.
Did you watch the 1984 Olympics, in particular women's basketball, when Pat Summitt was the coach in LA?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she had, she had great players. I mean, she had the best in the U.S. And then it was great. Is not only did they win the first gold medal, it was in the United States, which is awesome.
In Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Did you watch the Olympics because Pat was coaching, or did you watch it just because it was the Olympics
in
84?
Both. Because, as I said, I've always been I'm glued to the TV now. I watch it every day. I'm going to watch Sierra Burdick play 3-on-3. But, yeah, I watch it. But when you know somebody and you know people playing, because I knew everybody that was on the team, and to watch it with Pat involved, absolutely, I'm going to watch it.
That 84 team was stacked, and Cheryl Miller was the 2-time National Player of the Year. Pamela McGee, her teammate, and USC had won national championship. She was on that team. Lynette Woodard, a great team. But I was reading an article recently that said that Pat Summitt butted heads with Cheryl Miller because Cheryl was kind of flamboyant, showboating, and Pat Summitt didn't like that.
Yeah,
I would think you're probably not surprised
had a bit of a
conflict.
If you did something that was showboaty or what, it better get there. So if it's a behind your back pass, it better make the right pass. Yeah, I could see them butting heads. It just, Pat was a fundamental, you can't do it unless you do it 100 times in a row, and it just.
Andrew's physical therapy at Blaine and Strawberry Plains. That's where I've gone to rehab my knee, shoulder, and elbow. When rubbing a little dirt on it ain't good enough.
Just make the easy pass. And Pat wasn't all about the showboating.
There were a lot of comments about, all we did was run. I could never been such a grueling camp as that. And then Pat gave them T-shirts that said, I survived the summit.
Absolutely.
You could see her doing that.
Well, that's her M.O. She started international. As I said, when I was a freshman, it was run. We're going to outwork you. We're going to be in the best shape. And that never changed. That never changed. And it wasn't going to change if she was coaching the best players in the world. That was not going to change.
How proud of you were not just the women's team winning the first gold medal in the Olympics in women's basketball, but the Pat Summitt was the coach of that team.
I wasn't surprised, but yeah. I was so happy for Pat and happy for Tennessee. And you know, as a player, you go through and you put in your time and you do your time and for 4 years and then at the time. But Pat did the same thing. You know, she put in her time. She had to evolve. She had to prove herself. And that was young in Pat's career, really, especially internationally.
And she was 31.
Yeah. So to be the first coach to do it for the U.S., it's special.
The USA women's basketball team has only not won a gold medal once since 1984, so she kind of set the standard, didn't she?
Absolutely. And we shouldn't lose. We should be the best. And it's like the men's side. We should be the best in the country. Now, the country's getting better.
Yes.
Basketball's getting better. The teams that the U.S. used to dominate, they don't dominate. You know, I was a little bit worried about, they played Japan the other day.
Right.
It's just a different style. They're quick. They shoot the three. They're hard to guard. They pull you out. They're pulling Griner away from the basket. So, you can't, every team is a threat now.
You mentioned going into coaching to earn a living after the World Basketball League folded. Virginia Tech, then Nebraska.
Yeah.
And then Tennessee in 1985.
85.
And Pat had been to the Final Four in the AIAW or NCAA about 6 or 7 times before she won a championship. But you were part of all 8 of those national championships. That had to be a great feeling to be a part of a program that was so dominant in women's basketball.
Absolutely. I will tell you this. I was in Nebraska, and there was snow on the ground in spring, and Pat called me and asked me, would I be interested in coming back to Tennessee? And I said, I can be there in 18 hours. Give me an hour, I can pack up. So make that 19. Yeah, the opportunity to play for Pat and then coach with her and be involved in those championships was a dream for me to understand the hard work, the time, the energy, the effort. Mickey DeMoss was there as well, and it was a grind for us. We just hit the ground running, and we did not stop because we were trying to build a championship program, and it was about players. Obviously, it was about coaching, and Pat was the best, but to win, you had to have great players as well. Mm-hmm. So we had to go out and get those players, and then had to figure out how we're going to get them to jail and play them.
Years later, 2012, I think it was, she's diagnosed with Alzheimer's, early onset dementia. How difficult was that for you to see Pat trying to coach through that year?
When she got diagnosed, it wasn't kind of a shock, because if you were around her as much as I had been, you knew something was off. And so that kind of prepared me for that diagnosis. But yeah, it was devastating. It was to see a woman in her prime that had a good 10, 15 years left in her.
Yeah. She's 59 years old, I think.
Absolutely. And so, yeah, it was difficult. And then as it went on, to see her get disinterested in basketball was shocking. And then you really knew that it really wasn't the path that I had always known my majority of my life. So yeah, it was hard. It was heartbreaking. It was a shock. And it was difficult. It was difficult to see your mentor no longer be the person that she had been, you know, majority of my life.
And not as engaged.
And not interested in, and for those who know Pat, it's, you know, she was, practice was more important than a game. And for her to not be interested in practice, you knew something was a little off.
It's really hard to follow a legend in any sport.
Yeah.
Pat certainly was a legend. Did you have any reservations about taking the Tennessee job?
Not one bit. Not one bit. I had, you know, Jimmy, I had been at Tennessee majority of my life, worked for Pat. I thought she and I always said that I'd be pushing her out in her wheelchair to coach, and I would have had opportunities to go other places, but you know, Tennessee was home. Gosh, I lived, I breathed it, I had been involved with it, and I had no reservations of not taking the job, not one bit.
So during your tenure, you win 3 SEC championships. You made the Elite Eight 3 times, and then Kelly Harper comes along. Still hadn't made a Final Four since 2008.
Yeah.
What has kept the Lady Vols from getting back to the top?
Well, I think teams are getting better. Players are getting better. People are putting more emphasis, more money into it. I think the opportunity is there. You got to have a little, you know, for me, we had some key injuries when we went to the Elite Eight. I'm thinking, man, if we had Isabel Harrison or but you know what? That's basketball. That's just basketball. You have injuries and you got to deal with it. We couldn't get over the hump. But I think now with the expectations and, you know, it's difficult. It's hard. But I think the transfer portal will help. You know, you were doing recruiting, and now you just go in the transfer portal. But it's all about gelling and getting the right people to play together. And that, I think, these days is difficult as well, trying to get kids that want to play as a team and not individuals. And, you know, that's hard. And you have for parents to understand – you know, and then you throw in the parents thing and social media, and it's a hard world out there for athletics right now.
Kim Caldwell gets hired as the Lady Vols coach. She has not coached at this level before. She runs an up-tempo style. She likes to shoot 3. She likes to press, kind of like what Bruce Pearl brought to the table when he was hired. And she's done pretty well in the transfer portal. Yeah. What do you see for Kim Caldwell at Tennessee?
Well, I watched her at Marshall, and I mean, I think she has a great opportunity. I hope she does fantastic. Is it going to be difficult for her? Yeah, she's at Tennessee, and the expectations are up here, and there's very, very small margin of error. So I think people need to give her that opportunity, that chance. She's going to be, you know, entertaining, and she's got to get kids that play that style and who want to play that style. And I think that she's going to do well.
One other thing, I think I'm right about this. I think you're the only product of Knoxville High School to make a women's Olympic basketball team, maybe even an Olympic team on the men's side. Can you think of anybody else that has done that? Because I cannot.
Not in basketball. I mean, we've had some people that that have played that went on to the pros. Elgin Turner at Austin.
Yeah, Elgin Turner. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But no, you know, hadn't really thought about that.
Yeah, you're in rarefied air there with that. So
that's huge. That's interesting. Never thought about that.
Holly, thank you for joining us. I appreciate it. Olympian Holly Warlick, we appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.